The headlines, Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says it has presented a Gaza ceasefire proposal to mediators with the aim of putting an end to the ongoing war. Yemen's Ansarullah leader says that operations against Israel-linked vessels will extend to include ships crossing the Indian Ocean. Russians are heading to the polls across the country in a three-day presidential election. Hello and welcome, everybody. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says it has put forth a new proposal for a Gaza ceasefire with the aim of ending the Israeli war on the besieged territory. Hamas says it has presented the proposal to Egyptian and Qatari mediators. The movement says under its proposal, the occupying Israeli forces should leave Gaza. Hamas says its proposal also includes the return of displaced Palestinians to their homes and providing them with aid. The exchange of Palestinian prisoners with Israeli captives held in Gaza is included as well. Reports say the initial exchange would see the release of Israeli women, children, elderly, and the sick. They would be freed in return for the release of 700 to 1,000 Palestinians. The Israeli regime has said the new Hamas position is based on what it called unrealistic demands. Senior Hamas official Salma Hamdan has already said any Israeli opposition means that the regime wants to continue the war. The Israeli military has conducted new attacks on different locations across Gaza. Our correspondent in the central city of Deir al-Bala earlier joined us to give us the details on that.
In the meantime, the Israeli occupation artillery maintained its shelling towards the eastern part of several areas of Gaza Strip, particularly here in Deir al-Balah city and Al-Mughraga neighborhood, and even Al-Nusayrat refugee camp. Heavy artillery shelling reached those areas, and that shelling actually was maintained over the night. And even in Jabalia refugee camp and in Khan Yunis city, the Israeli artillery also maintained and continued their attacks and airstrikes. In the meantime, the central areas of Khan Yunis city and Jabalia refugee camp also were hit relentlessly by those Israeli continuous airstrikes. Several residential buildings destroyed over those cruel attacks.
Condemnations are pouring in over Israel's massacre of over 100 Palestinians waiting for humanitarian aid in Gaza City on Thursday. The Palestinian Mujahideen movement says Israel's shelling of aid seekers at the Kuwaiti roundabout is a stain of shame for anyone complicit in the crime. The resistance movement held the U.S. and other Western states and some Arab countries responsible for Israel's genocide in Gaza. Another resistance movement, Hamas, reacted as well. It criticized the failure of the international community and the UN to take action against Israel. Hamas said the inaction has given the regime the green light to commit horrific crimes against Palestinians. Israel has time and again targeted aid seekers in Gaza. In the past several weeks, the regime unleashed its war on Gaza in early October, killing nearly 31,500 people. And the repeated Israeli attacks on aid seekers in Gaza was the topic of our news review program. Let's take a listen to comments by our guests on that issue.
Now, welcome everyone to News Review Program, where we get in-depth in one of the day's top stories. Joining us now for the program is Habiba Jaguri, a journalist and activist, joining us from Adelaide, and John Stepling, author and commentator, joining us out of Inderøy, Norway. Hello, and I'd like to welcome you both to the program. I guess, Habiba, we'll do the gentlemanly thing here and start with you first. Your initial thoughts, who in what conflict provides or denies, pardon me, denies a civilian population of food, water, and medicine, and the little that does get in, it targets them when they are desperately seeking to go after it?
Thank you so much for having me. Well, a regime that has started off being anti-human in politics from the very beginning of its foundation, that from the very beginning of its foundation started off as a lie, started off as an excuse to come and plunder and steal resources. Of course, something like this, some atrocious, absolutely horrific war crime of using starvation as a weapon of war and then killing people seeking aid, seeking food. Of course, such a result will come from Israel, a terrorist state. Israel has been a rogue state from the very beginning of its foundation. It has never, ever given importance to human life.
John, welcome to the program. Now, John, you know very well if there's a lorry, a big rig, an 18-wheeler somewhere in Ukraine carrying humanitarian aid, and it gets targeted, it'll be all over Western corporate media news. This is aid trucks getting in. One out of every 500 are getting in. And then when they do, you're not just hitting the truck. Sometimes you are, actually. The Israelis sometimes are hitting them en route on highways. But the worst part is hitting when people are scattered around them, resulting, and you very well know it's been done systematically, and it's not just on one incident now.
Yeah. Well, what your other guest said is worth underscoring again. And yes, of course, there's a double standard that's a naked double standard in reporting on Israel and Gaza from Western media. It's shocking, actually. But your other guest is right. Israel has been a settler colonial imperial project from even before 1948. They were killing Arabs even before that. Ergun and the Stern Gang and so forth were terrorizing the region. You can go back and look up the bombing of the King David Hotel and on and on. The list of war crimes from committed by Israel is nearly endless.
Habiba Jaguri joining us from Australia, and Mr. John Stepling there joining us out of Norway. That brings us to the conclusion of this segment of your news review program. Thank you for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
The holy month of Ramadan is observed as a special and holy month for Muslims across the globe, but the situation is different for Palestinians in Gaza, where they are living under catastrophic conditions due to the Israeli war. Let's take a listen to comments by some of the residents in Gaza.
We have been unstable, moving from one place to the next. There is no shelter or anything. There is no food, there is no water, nothing, not even the most basic living essentials like bread. We're forced to eat wild plants when it rains and cook them. That is our situation. We hope from God to relieve this crisis and end this war soon.
I don't know. Look at my stomach, how shrunk it has become. I was 80 kilograms and now I'm around 65 kilos. I've lost 15 kilos. When you look at people, you see they talk to themselves. They can barely walk because of lack of food. There is no food or anything here at all.
Of course, despite the fact that we are under siege, starving, and despite the malnutrition that our dear children, patients, and elders are suffering from, we are still performing the Taraweeh prayers during the holy months of Ramadan. We ask Almighty God for a relief soon to our people in northern Gaza who are under siege from all sides.
Australia says it will resume funding to the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA.
After consideration by the National Security Committee this week, Australia is unpausing our contribution to UNRWA. We have worked with partners and obviously you've seen the European Union and Canada also unpause their funding. We have worked with the United Nations. We have worked with UNRWA and we have taken advice from agencies and from Australian government lawyers. And all of those have informed the consideration of the NSC that I referenced today.
The Australian Foreign Minister also stressed that UNRWA and its operations are critical to providing assistance to the starving Palestinians in Gaza. Earlier this week, Sweden and Canada also announced the resumption of their funding to the UN agency. They were among the 16 countries that paused the aid after Israel accused some UNRWA staffers of involvement in Hamas's October 7th operation. UNRWA, however, has described the allegations as unsubstantiated, saying that Israel had extracted confessions from its personnel under torture. A senior EU official also said Israel had not provided any evidence to support its claims. UNRWA has been a lifeline for millions of Palestinians since 1949, just months after the creation of Israel in occupied Palestine. Another week of pro-Palestinian rallies in Yemen. Huge crowds of demonstrators once again took to the streets across the country to condemn the U.S.-Israeli genocide in Gaza and urge the Yemeni army to continue its operations against Israel. For more details, our correspondent Abdul Latif Al-Washali joined us earlier from the site of the rally in the capital, Sana'a.
Despite the sunny and hot weather, the people here, and also despite they're being fasting today, you know, it's Ramadan, but the people have chosen to gather here. They came from across the city to gather in the capital, Sana'a, and also in other cities to express their solidarity with the Palestinian people. They said they can't just remain passive while witnessing the oppressed people of Palestine suffer from killings and being starved to death by at the hands of the Israeli regime. They have to do something. They have to demonstrate. They have to keep provoking the Yemeni army to escalate its operations in the Red Sea and Gulf of Aden. And today we've seen them being happy after hearing the speech of Said Abdul Malik al-Houthi yesterday, saying that the naval operations now will be escalated and now they will target the Israeli linked ships, not only in the Red Sea and Bab al-Mandab Strait, but also in the Indian Ocean and in the South Africa. The people today are very happy. They said they will keep telling the Yemeni army and urging the Yemeni army to keep escalating its operations.
The Yemeni army says it has carried out fresh attacks on U.S. and Israeli vessels in the Indian Ocean as it expands the scope of its pro-Palestinian and retaliatory operations.
Another victory for the oppressed Palestinian people and in retaliation for the American-British aggression against our country. The naval units of the Yemeni armed forces carried out an operation targeting the Israeli ship Pacific 01 in the Red Sea with a number of suitable naval missiles. Meanwhile, our forces carried out an operation targeting an American destroyer in the Red Sea with a number of drones and successfully achieved its objectives. In implementing the directives of our leader, Syed Abdul Malik Badreddin al-Houthi, in another victory for the oppressed Palestinian people who are being subjected to aggression and siege in the Gaza Strip, and in response to the calls of the Yemeni people and all the free people of the nation, the Yemeni armed forces began to expand the scope of their operations against Israeli ships, those linked to Israel or those heading to the ports of occupied Palestine, to include the Indian Ocean to the Cape of Good Hope. Accordingly, the Yemeni armed forces warn all Israeli ships heading to or coming from the ports of occupied Palestine not to pass through the Cape of Good Hope. Otherwise, they will be a legitimate target for our armed forces. The Yemeni armed forces, within the framework of implementing these directives, carried out three operations against three Israeli and American ships in the Indian Ocean, using a number of suitable naval missiles and drones, and all three operations successfully achieved their objectives. The Yemeni armed forces will persist with their military operations, enforcing a blockade on Israeli navigation in the Red and Arabian Seas, as well as the Indian Ocean, until a ceasefire is achieved and the siege on Gaza is lifted.
Earlier we spoke to Hossein Al-Bukhaiti, activist and political commentator who joined us from Sana'a. In Yemen, he told us that Yemen is expanding its operations after Israel-linked ships change their routes in high seas.
He mentioned that Yemen will expand their attack because we have noticed that because after the Yemeni blocked the Red Sea and the Arabian Gulf in the face of Israeli affiliated ship, they actually are now using to go around the Cape of Good Hope in South Africa. That's why in the speech of Abdul Malik al-Houthi yesterday has insisted that Yemeni will expand their operation. And I just want to mention that in the last 12 hours, Yemeni army, according to United Kingdom Maritime Trade Operation, two vessels has come under attack in the Red Sea just in the last 12 hours. And as well, according to United States Central Command, the two ballistic missiles were fired into the Gulf of Aden. They didn't say what was the target, but we have seen 2 days ago that the U.S. Central Command has announced that one anti-ship ballistic missile was fired against towards a U.S. destroyer called Labon, and they said that it did not hit that ship. I mean, this is actually a change of the tune of the United States, because they always say that we have shut down either the drones or the ballistic missiles, but this actually latest statement, it shows that Yemeni anti-ship ballistic missiles actually was not or they couldn't shoot it down by the anti-air missiles on those U.S. destroyer.
People across Russia are heading to the polls to choose a new president. For the next 6 years, a vote is taking place across the country's 11 time zones. More than 112 million people are eligible to cast ballots from Friday until Sunday. Incumbent President Vladimir Putin is running for a fifth term. He has three rivals. They're from the New People Party, the Liberal Democratic Party, and the Communist Party. Prior to the election, Putin called on Russians to vote, saying that people are the only source of power in his country. He said Russia is going through a difficult period and needs to stay united and confident to overcome it. The vote is also taking place in the four regions that Russia annexed from Ukraine in 2022, namely Donetsk, Luhansk, Zaporizhia, and Kherson. Our correspondent Johnny Miller earlier joined us from Moscow with more details on the ongoing presidential elections in Russia.
Well, as you say, Russians, millions of Russians going to the polls over the next 3 days, Friday to Sunday. Frankly, nobody expects anybody else to win except for Vladimir Putin. He's been effectively in power for the last 20 years, and almost certainly he will win another six-year term. The major reason for that is that he's very popular. That's the reality. The economy is stable and growing. Politically, it's stable, despite, of course, the major conflict, the war, the special military operation, as it's called here, that's going on in Ukraine. The main opposition is from the left and the right of him. The Communist Party usually comes second in these elections, and there's certainly opposition, not necessarily about opposition to how the country is generally going, but certainly disagreements with Vladimir Putin from more on the right, more ultra-nationalist.
That's it with the world news for now. Bye, everybody.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Years, 30 days. In the name of God, Salam and welcome to the program. A monotheist person not only reflects on the Quran, but also tries to explain the ayahs of this heavenly scripture to others and make them familiar with its teachings. Explicating of the Quranic teachings, first of all, was the duty of the Prophet and his infallible successors. Every faithful too, according to the extent that they had learned from the Ahlul Bayt, embarked on this heavenly duty. So the ulema, Muslim scholars, took over this duty after the occultation of the 12th infallible successor of the Prophet, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, and have seriously continued this job till the present day. Today, this duty has become highly important due to the broad assault of enemies against the beliefs of Islam and humanity. In the fourth episode of Ramadan special series, we will explain Ayah 186 of Surah Al Imran of the Noble Quran. The ayah focuses mainly on the tradition of testing human beings by God. Please stay with us. The arrival of the blessed month of Ramadan is indeed the blowing of the breeze of Allah's mercy. This blessed month paves the way to go up and achieve success in spiritual fields. Stepping in the path of success is not easy. It needs relentless effort and hope in the goal. But to reach the goal, we have to sacrifice things. This world has been created in a way that reaching the summit is not feasible except through crises and troubles. A person who deems no value for stepping in this way or has left it in the course should not expect to reach the summit. It is unjust to put a person who has made effort for a long time and passed behind many crises in the same position as the one who has been sitting idly or he who has made less effort. This rule is true for societies too. A society should make effort to push behind crises and obstacles rather than sacking other societies and nations. The Western civilization has built its system through pillaging of resources and preserves of other nations. Sometimes the faithful think that mere belief is sufficient to attain success and bliss in this world and the hereafter. But it is the divine tradition to test individuals and societies with calamities and hardships. God tells the faithful in Ayah 186 of Surah Al-Imran of the Noble Quran, "You will surely be tested in your possessions and your souls, and you will surely hear from those who were given the book before you and from the polytheist much affront. But if you are patient and God-weary, that is indeed the steadiest of courses." This tradition of testing is practiced presently as it has always been. God also says in Ayah 214 of Surah Baqarah, "Do you purpose that you shall enter paradise, though there has not yet come to you the like of what befell those who went before you? Stress and distress befell them, and they were convulsed until the apostle and the faithful were with him and said, 'When will Allah's help come? Look, Allah's help is indeed near.'" Effort and success go side by side each other. Nothing is prepared for anyone freely. Reaching the summit of success means confronting and struggling challenges and barriers. An Islamic society constantly faces crises to grow and prosper. God's assistance will come in the heat of the crises if the faithful act properly. This will increase their belief in the unseen. In Ayahs 123 and 129 of Surah Al-Imran, God, in order to encourage Muslims to resist firmly in the Battle of Uhud, reminds them of the Battle of Badr as the first armed encounter of Muslims and disbelievers. God wants to show how He sent His help to the faithful in the middle of crisis and to make their hearts firm and sure for the next crisis in the Battle of Uhud. He says, "And certainly Allah helped you at Badr when you were abased. So be wary of Allah so that you may give thanks when you, the Prophet, were saying to the faithful, 'Is it not enough for you that your Lord should aid you with 3,000 angels sent down? Yes, if you are steadfast and God-weary and they should come at you suddenly, your Lord will aid you with 5,000 marked angels. And Allah did not appoint it but as a good news for you and to reassure with it your hearts. And victory comes only from Allah, the Almighty, the All-Wise.'" Progress and success are gained step by step and through endeavor. To go to the upper steps, you need to have perseverance and persistence. It is not an easy job, especially in the face of unexpected problems and obstacles. So one should be steadfast and have hope in God's help rather than means and facilities. During the COVID-19 pandemic, the Islamic Republic of Iran started laboriously researching on the disease and, in spite of illegally and cruelly imposed sanctions, achieved astounding results. Consequently, the World Health Organization approved the country's effort, and the name of the Islamic Republic of Iran was put in the list of the producers of coronavirus vaccine. It is the habit of the Islamic Republic to pass through crises to make opportunities out of them, no matter the U.S. and Zionist-controlled media conceal the progresses and breakthroughs of the Iranian scientists and researchers. Take two persons who want to take the entrance exam of universities. One of them enjoys every facility such as private teacher, additional courses and classes, extra books and materials and so on. He gains the fifth rank in the exam. Another one gains the 50th rank without having any of the aforementioned facilities. Besides, he had to work for a livelihood. It is quite clear that the latter's ranking is more valuable than the former's. This is true for the Islamic Republic. The Islamic Republic of Iran has undergone different crises for 45 years. Some of these crises were enough to destroy any system and country. So, it is a miracle that this country and this system has not only survived through all crises and conspiracies, but has also made incredible progresses in a big variety of fields. Ramadan is the month of patience and resistance, and fasting is the symbol of a struggle against carnal and personal desires. Basically, patience has an unbreakable bond with fasting. Patience against hunger, thirst, sins, pressures, hardships, etc. exist in fasting. One's self strongly invites him or her to carnal desires, eating and drinking. But a fasting person resists against all these invitations and trains the self to become powerful and firm. A man with a feeble willpower will lose control in the face of transient pleasures, while a man with a strong willpower will stand firmly against worldly pleasures and pleasures of flesh with the aim of reaching sublimity and perfection in human spirituality.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
The audience of IRB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. May Allah accept your du'as and worships in the month of Ramadan. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Ja'far Ja'far.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Let me start off by wishing each and every one of you a Shahru Ramadan Mubarak. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He give us enough strength to be obedient to Him in this month, to be able to accomplish His rites that He has set out for us in this month with good health and good mental health as well, inshallah. And that we leave, you know, this holy month of Ramadan as better believers than we entered it, inshallah. Just discuss about the holy month, Shahru Ramadan. But let's prepare our hearts and our spirits as well to ensure that we are ready. And there are many different ways to look at the holy month. But you know, I believe that relationships are important. And when you look at our existence, there are three very important relationships that we can cultivate and develop in the month of Ramadan. The first of these relationships, you know, is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that's the primary existence that we have, stems from His existence. And therefore, we are entirely dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, one of the things that we have to never forget, you know, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala longs for a relationship with His servants. Yeah, you know, it's amazing, the one who is needless, but He really wants us to be connected to Him. And there's a very beautiful hadith, where it's a hadith al-Qudsi, where Allah Azza wa Jal says, Ya Dawood, لَوْ يَعْلَمُ الْمُدْبِرُونَ عَنِّي كَيْفَ إِنْتِذَارِ لَهُمْ. It says, for those who turn away from Me were to know the extent of My desire for them, My anticipation for them, وَرِقِّي بِهِمْ وَشَوْقِي إِلَىٰ تَرْكِ مَعَاصِيهِمْ, and My longing to be gentle towards them, and how I long for them not to sin anymore. He says, لَمَاتُوا شَوْقًا إِلَيَّ. They would die in anticipation of Me. Yeah, subhanAllah. If we were connected to God and realized that, man, God, all He wants is for us to become better servants. You know why? Because it doesn't serve Him anything. It doesn't benefit God anything. Right? Like this prayer that we're doing, it's not like God says, ah, alhamdulillah, look. I don't know who He's saying alhamdulillah to, but you know what I mean? Like He's saying, like, look, like they're praying to Me. No, He doesn't care. He honestly doesn't care. Everything we do is for our own benefit. It's for our own benefit. God wants to see us successful. The idea that God, you know, like sometimes as a teacher, you have a child who is a bad child, doesn't do any work. Sometimes you feel good failing them. Yeah, you're like, let them fail. Yeah? God's not like that. God's not like me. Yeah, alhamdulillah. God doesn't want to see anyone fail. Yeah, He doesn't want to see anyone go to hell. He gives us chance after chance after chance after chance after chance to become a better servant of His. Yeah, to find Him. Imagine a person, right, who lived a life not as a believer for 50, 60, 70 years, finds Islam when they were 70 and they die the next day, Allah enters them into paradise. Because they found Him. They found Him. Yeah, He says, forget the past. You found Me, right? Find God, my brothers and sisters, in the month of Ramadan. Find Him. Yeah, connect to Him. Develop a relationship with Him. It is fundamental that if our relationship with God is not strong, it doesn't matter what else we do in this world, we will not be successful in the hereafter. Our relationship with God is primary. And so develop that, right? However you want to develop it. Whether it's conversations with God, whether it's du'as, or whether it's just trying to be a better person for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? That's number one. Develop that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ramadan, Ramadan, welcome holy month, Ramadan, welcome Ramadan.
The second aspect is a relationship with ourselves. This is the second most important, not second most, second relationship. And the relationship that we have with ourselves is very simple. In the month of Ramadan, do not do zulm to yourselves. Yeah? Do not do zulm to yourselves, right? Zulm is any type of oppression. Do not sin, right? You know, I remember once somebody had told me, and I've shared this with you many times, he said, Sheikh, Muharram Ramadan, no music for me. Yeah? And I was like, you know what? Alhamdulillah. I was like, what do you want me to tell you? Alhamdulillah, right? Like two out of 10 months or 2 out of 12, alhamdulillah, I'll take it. Yeah? We can do it. Don't sin. Yeah? My simple rule in the month of Ramadan, do not sin. Yeah? Do not sin. Do not sin. And start from now. Yeah? We have to prep from now because it can't be like chand, okay, bas, I'll stop, right? Moon, I'll stop. No, start from now. You know our habits. We know ourselves what we do. We know ourselves things that are shady that we do. Stop it. Yeah? And don't do dhulm to yourselves in the month of Ramadan, because the worst of people are those who are not forgiven in the month of Ramadan. Right? There's famous traditions. They say that if a servant is not forgiven in Ramadan, like what other month do they expect to be forgiven in? Right? This is the month. But the way we counter that or earn that forgiveness is by not sinning in the month of Ramadan. And I'm sure of it, that if we don't sin in the month of Ramadan, if we want to carry it forward, it will become very easy to carry it forward. We will only revert back to sinning if we want to sin. You know, this is something that's also really interesting. I was having a conversation with somebody, and they were talking about like all the halal restaurants here in Peel, for example, right? Like maybe over 1,000 halal restaurants. I was like, man, if somebody eats haram here, it's because they want to eat haram. Not because out of any type of, like, you know, like, oh, I don't know what else to do, I have to eat a burger. No, Baba, there's like 10 burger joints around. Same, in the month of Ramadan, it becomes so much easier not to sin. And if you want to sin, it's because you want to do it. There's no other choice. No one to blame but yourself at that particular point. So that's number two, relationship with ourselves. Work on it. And the third relationship is a relationship with others, right? And this has many layers to it. But just to be kind to each other, yeah? To be caring for each other. To give sadaqah in the month for those who are less fortunate. Anything we can do to make the life of others better, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in turn will make our lives better. These three relationships, if we can start developing them from now, with Allah, with ourselves and with others, inshallah, the month of Ramadan will be a month unlike any other for all of us, inshallah. Keep us in your du'as. You're always in mine. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Dear listeners of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, you can follow this program entitled Minbar every day in the month of Ramadan. If you have any suggestion, you can send us your email at englishradio@irib.ir.
Love is everywhere. So much peace fills up the air. Ramadan, month of the Quran. I feel it inside me, strengthening my iman. But how I wish you'd be دوماً قريب ليتك دوماً قريب
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
Limelight. Former U.S. President Donald Trump says he opposes a ban on TikTok, but he also labels Facebook the enemy of the people. We take a look at the U.S. media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. national broadcaster CBS News has covered this story and tells us more. He may have led the initial charge to ban TikTok whilst in office, but former President Donald Trump, in a reversal, is now warning against banning the app, saying it would only empower Facebook, which he labelled the enemy of the people. There's a lot of good and there's a lot of bad with TikTok, but the thing I don't like is that without TikTok, you're going to make Facebook bigger, and I consider Facebook to be an enemy of the people, along with a lot of the media, Trump said about the controversial app on CNBC's Squawk Box on Monday morning, 11th of March. TikTok is owned by the Chinese company ByteDance. In further remarks, Donald Trump said, "I'm not going to make Facebook double the size. I think Facebook has been very bad for our country." Trump's comments come as the House of Representatives prepares to consider legislation that would force ByteDance, the parent company of TikTok, to sell TikTok within 6 months, or else the app would be removed from the US app stores and websites because of national security concerns about the Chinese government's interactions with ByteDance. The US is concerned that data collected on millions of users by the app could be handed over to the Chinese government. The former president, Donald Trump, said that he believes TikTok's security concerns around national security and data privacy needed to be fixed, but said, "There are a lot of people on TikTok that love it, including young kids on TikTok who will go crazy without it." On Thursday, 7th of March, there was some evidence of this when TikTok users saw their phones flash Thursday with a push notification urging them to speak up against the TikTok shutdown. The alert linked to a page prompting users to enter their zip code, then provided them with a direct link to call their member of Congress. Representative Raja Krishnamurti told CBS News that most of the alerts had gone to children who were flooding our offices with phone calls. Donald Trump has long harbored grievances against Facebook, now known as Meta. In 2017, Trump tweeted, "Facebook was always anti-Trump, and in the wake of his 2020 election loss to Joe Biden, Trump took issue with $400 million in donations made by Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg and his wife, Priscilla Chan, to non-profit organizations supporting local election offices around the country during the pandemic. The donations paid for ballot drop boxes, equipment to process mail-in ballots, recruiting poll workers and voter information campaigns on voting safely during COVID pandemic, three initiatives that were opposed by Donald Trump and his allies. Trump's false claims on Facebook and Instagram that the 2020 presidential election had been stolen from him resulted in a two-year account suspension imposed by Facebook parent company Meta. Since he was reinstated in February of 2023, Donald Trump and his campaign have been using Meta's platforms for fundraising. In 2020, while he was still president, Trump said he intended to ban TikTok, citing emergency powers to target TikTok's parent company ByteDance. He signed an executive order banning U.S. companies from transactions with ByteDance, stating that data collection threatens to allow the Chinese government access to Americans' personal and proprietary information, potentially allowing China to track the locations of federal employees in the United States and federal contractors, and building dossiers of personal information. Donald Trump told CNBC that he met with Republican megadonor and ByteDance investor Jeff Yass recently, but said the two did not discuss TikTok. Jeff Yass owns a 15% stake in ByteDance. According to Donald Trump, Jeff Yass never mentioned TikTok during his meeting with Trump. Meanwhile, President Biden told reporters last week that he would sign the legislation if it is passed by Congress. CNN cable news network has also covered the same story and tells us more. Facebook once again finds itself in the crosshairs of former President Donald Trump, and that's making some traders on Wall Street rather nervous. Meta Platforms, the owner of Facebook and one of the stars of the recent market rally, fell about 4% on Monday, 11th of March, after Donald Trump called into CNBC and labeled Facebook an enemy of the people. Meta shares also retreated 1.2% on Friday, following a post by Donald Trump on Truth Social platform, where the former president blasted Facebook as a true enemy of the people. Meta's market valuation has dropped by more than $60 billion since Donald Trump's attacks began on Thursday evening, 7th of March. No major news appeared to drive the Meta sell-off other than the condemnation from the former president of the United States. If it has everything to do with the comments from former President Trump, Gil Luria, an analyst at D.A. Davidson, told CNN, Facebook has gone through waves of being dragged into the political debate, and it never bodes them well for that. Facebook has gone through waves of being dragged into the political debate, and it never bodes well for them. Donald Trump surprised many last week by reversing his stance on TikTok and coming out against a ban on TikTok that many in Congress, including many Republican congressmen, are pushing for. But why? Trump argues that banning TikTok would help Facebook, a company the former president has a long history of battling against. The thing I don't like is that without TikTok, you can make Facebook bigger, and I consider Facebook to be an enemy of the people, along with a lot of the media, Trump told CNBC on Monday, 11th of March. Facebook imposed a 2-year ban on Donald Trump in the wake of the 6th of January 2021 Capitol riot. Meta reinstated Donald Trump's Facebook and Instagram accounts in February of 2023. The Associated Press has also covered the same story and tells us more. House Republicans are moving ahead with a bill that would require Chinese company ByteDance to sell its subsidiary TikTok or face a ban in the United States, even as former President Donald Trump is voicing opposition to the effort. House leadership has scheduled a vote on the measure for Wednesday, 13th of March. A Republican congressional aide not authorized to speak publicly said that's still the plan and there has not been significant pushback to the bill from lawmakers. A vote for the bill would represent an unusual break with the former president, Donald Trump, by House Republicans. But the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, and others have already forcefully come out in favor of the bill, and dropping it now would represent a significant reversal. It's an important bipartisan measure to take on China, our largest geopolitical foe, which is actively undermining our economy and security, the House Speaker Mike Johnson declared last week. Donald Trump said on Monday, 11th of March, that he still believes that TikTok poses a national security risk, but is opposed to banning the hugely popular app because doing so would help its rival Facebook, which he continues to lambast over his 2020 election loss to Joe Biden. Donald Trump said, frankly, there are a lot of people on TikTok that love it. There are a lot of young kids on TikTok who will go crazy without it. Trump was speaking on CNBC's program Squawk Box. He added, there's a lot of good and there's a lot of bad with TikTok, but the thing I don't like is that without TikTok, you're going to make Facebook bigger, and I consider Facebook to be an enemy of the people, along with a lot of the media. When I look at it, I'm not looking to make Facebook double the size. I think Facebook has been very bad for our country, especially when it comes to elections. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
The dawns of the month of Ramadan should not be missed. The annual Ramadan Quranic meeting, April 30th, 2019. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I sincerely thank the dear brothers, and I've really benefited from your recitation today. It is a very good, beautiful, and meaningful meeting with diverse and mellifluous recitations, and I thank God for this. When we see that each year the signs of progress in reciting the Holy Quran are visible among our youth and our people, this makes me very happy, and I thank God for this. Thanks to these good recitations, today's meeting was very meaningful, significant, and delightful, particularly because of the good point that our talented and eloquent presenter raised regarding the offering of these recitations and what was achieved in this meeting to the pure souls of the martyrs who were buried in Tehran recently. Reciting the Holy Quran in a good voice and tone and by observing the requirements and conventions of recitation is an introduction to the entrance of Quranic concept into hearts. However, if we merely benefit from this aspect of the Holy Quran, and if we only look at it as an act of recitation and beautiful singing, we will surely be demoted from this lofty rank and position.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
The purpose of all this emphasis on reciting the Holy Quran in a good voice, in a beautiful tone, and by observing the requirements is that Quranic concepts influence hearts, that we establish a close relationship with the Holy Quran, and that we take a Quranic mold and color. If this is the goal, then it has certain requirements and conventions. The first convention is that the reciter of the Holy Quran should recite the book by believing in the Holy Quran and the concepts that he is reciting. If we do not know what we are reading, if we do not understand the concepts, and if it does not influence us in a deep way, then our recitation will exert little influence on others and on us. This is the first condition. I request that the Honorable Qura, Quranic experts and reciters of the Holy Quran, pay attention to this point. First, they should review in their minds the ayahs that they want to recite. They should deliberate on them and truly absorb the depth of these concepts in their hearts and their belief.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.